90.3 KEXP. The greatest thing we ever released, Joseph, will be the outtakes of sessions before and after, which we cannot put on. That's why they're so good.
My Tourette's meltdown.
No, yeah, that was something. That was,
is that what you're referring to?
Wow. It was like a truck driver.
It was
Tourette's.
A barrage.
Yeah, it was.
Of obscenity.
It was really nice.
I had to get it out of the way because, you know, now we're live on air.
I do that after.
Hello, Seattle.
Every show I do that. It just builds up for 4 hours.
I do it in a pillow usually at night before I cry and go to bed.
You just swear and cry in a pillow?
I yell obscenities into a pillow.
And then cry.
And then I usually weep a little before, and then I cry heavily after, and then I fall asleep.
See, that was college for me. That was not. I'm glad I got through it quicker than you.
That's what kept me out of college.
Is that what it was? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I kept getting accepted, and then after like a few days, they would say, "You have to leave now, sir." And I would leave.
As we were saying off the bike, we're going to play this loose today. Joseph Arthur making, we'll talk about all your appearances up here. I've decided we're going to focus a little on that. But what we really want to focus on are these songs that you're going to play us right now. And if you're ready, we're ready for you.
Yeah, we'll start out with a slow morning number called Coney Island Baby. You know, man, when I was a young man in high school, you believe in or not, I wanna play football for the coach. And all those older guys, they said he was mean and cruel, but you know, I wanna play football for the coach. They said I was too little, too lightweight to play linebacker, so I say I'm playing right end. And I wanna play football for the coach. Cause you know someday, man, you gotta stand up straight. Unless you're gonna fall, then you're gonna die. And the straightest dude I ever knew is standing right for me all the time. So I had to play football for the coach. And I want to play football for the coach. When you're all alone and lonely in your midnight hour, and you find that your soul been up for sale, and you begin to think about all the things that you've done, and you begin to hate just about everything. Remember the princess who lived on the hill, who loved you even though she knew you was wrong. And right now she just might come shining through. Glory of love, the glory of love just might come through. And all you two-bit friends have gone and ripped you off, and they're talking behind your back. They're saying, man, you ain't never gonna be no human being. start thinking again about all the things that you've done and who it was and what it was and all the different things you made every different scene. But remember, the city is a funny place. Something like a circus or a sewer. Just remember, different people have peculiar tastes. In the glory of love, the glory of love, the glory of love just might come through.
Joseph Arthur live here on The Morning Show. Beautiful version of that song.
Thank you.
Yeah, the first I saw and heard those covers, too, was on The Letterman Show, and quite a backing band you had.
I got really lucky with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been playing with Mike Mills on tour. We just got off a tour in Europe, and he did a tour before that. And, he came, I think it was, he was playing, coming to play a show with me in Brooklyn. And then I was like, hey, and the Letterman people actually wanted me to play piano on that.
Yeah?
And so then I asked Mike, I was like, do you think Peter would want to do guitar? And he was like, I don't think so, man. He ain't going to fly in. He ain't going to fly in for it. I'll tell you that. That's what he said. He's like, you know, if he's in town, he might do it.
Yeah.
So then Mike said, let me text him. And Mike texted him. And he was like, yeah, I'm coming in town actually like tomorrow for something. So, yeah, I'd love to do it. When do we rehearse? And I was like, you know, sometimes life...
I was going to say.
Oftentimes life will, you know, mess with you.
I don't know what normal is, but that certainly doesn't seem normal. Yeah,
no.
I'm going to be on Letterman covering my late friend Lou Reed, and I have half of REM coming up to back me.
That was crazy. And the other thing that happened was we were actually scheduled to be on the night before, and we got bumped by Lady Gaga. You know,
well, that happened. That seems more normal.
Sometimes you would maybe want to get bumped by Lady Gaga. In this case, I did not want to be bumped by Lady Gaga.
All right.
No, but it actually worked out because then they put us on the following night, which was Johnny Depp as a guest. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't care how cool you are out there in Seattle. That's cool to have, you know. But the other thing is that's the night he announced his retirement.
Yeah.
So it became like, it just seemed like, you know.
It's all meant to be.
Yeah.
It's a little New York thing, too.
It felt like that. Like, it was like, wow, that seems cosmic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. With your career and your life, you have to feel a little bit like that every day, I would think.
Yeah. Well, Greg Dooley, who we were just talking about, who in Afghan Wigs, he used to be a Seattle resident.
He was just here live, not too long ago.
He texted me, like, were you on when Letterman announced his retirement? And I was like, yep. And he his return was like, you're Zelig. Which I thought was awesome.
That's not normal either.
Yeah.
Well, that segues, if you don't mind, talking a little bit about when you first met Lou Reed, when you Peter Gabriel was at the show. I know that story from the past.
From my
and
25 other visits.
Yes, here. We've talked about it probably 15 times. But what I didn't know, what never came up was, so Peter Gabriel's seen you, right? And
yeah.
And for the first time live.
Yeah, and he brought his DAT recorder.
He brought his DAT recorder.
Yeah. No, Lou brought
Lou Reed,
brought his DAT recorder.
So Peter
DAT
Gabriel
recorder.
Brings, what's the craziest
for
part of
the kids out there that are born in 1995, a DAT is called digital audio tape. And for a while, it was the height of audio excellence.
Yes. So the craziest part of the story isn't that Peter Gabriel's going to come see you, that he brought Lou Reed, that Dolly Parton.
Then Dolly Parton.
But the DAT recorder was really for you.
Oh, that was amazing, that part. I mean, that's...
How awesome is that, though?
Well, I went and got on my hands and my knees in the bathroom and prayed. Locked myself in, you know, and I just prayed, you know.
That is a bit of pressure on you to play live. You were much younger.
Yeah, no, and I was a fusion bass player like 2 years before that. I really thought I was going to be Jaco Pastorius or Stanley Clark. And that's what my goal was. And I literally just started singing like a year before that. So
yeah.
I was just like, to me, a complete faker in the world of guy who sings on stage.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I'm like, you know, in front of those guys and, you know. It was overwhelming.
Well, apparently the show went well.
It went well enough, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that represented me getting out of a minimum wage lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, because as I said, with my, you know, Tourette's meltdowns in college, I got kicked out.
Yeah.
That's a joke. But I never did go to college.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was sort of facing a life of, I was working at a guitar shop at the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you remember that show, your performance, do you remember a song or a moment, or was there, or is it all just forgotten?
It was forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean, it was forgotten like really as soon as it happened. And then I was sitting there shaking hands with Lou and he said, I like that song, King of Hide and Seek, which wasn't called that, but King of Hide and Seek was a way better title than whatever crap I was calling it. And it was just, I was like watching, it's one of those moments where you're watching yourself from above, like you're out of your body and you're like, can't believe it's happening, you know.
He's even renamed your song.
It was like that. Yeah, he renamed it, like,
that's awesome,
but with like an assurance that that's obviously what it's called.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, well, I think it's great, and we're gonna talk a little bit more about his life and your connection to him, and if you're ready for another song.
Yeah. It's fun to play these Lou songs because they're just great songs, you know, and it's nice to have Rennie Lane on piano.
Yeah, I meant that's very rude of me, too. Please, you're not alone here in this room.
Oh,
thank you for coming this morning.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Yeah.
This one's called Sword of Damocles. I see the sword of Damocles is right above your head. They're trying a new treatment to get you out of bed. But radiation kills both bad and good, it cannot differentiate. So to cure you, they must kill you. The sword of Damocles hangs above your head. Lots of people die from car crashes or drugs. Last night on 33rd Street, I saw a kid get hit by a bus. But this drawn-out torture of which part he lives is very hard to take. To cure you, they must kill you. The sword of Damocles hangs above your head. Some more. morphine and dexedrine, we use it on the street. It kills the pain but keeps you up your very soul to keep. But this guessing game has its own rules, the good don't always win. And might makes right the sword of Damocles is hanging above your head. It seems everything's done that must be done from over here, though things don't seem fair. But there are things that we can't know, maybe there's something over there. Some other world that we don't know about, I know you hate that mystic shit. It's just another way of seeing the sword of Damocles above your head.
Joseph Arthur live here on The Morning Show. I have to tell you, man, it's not often you hear one of your favorite songs you would never think you're going to hear live right in front of your face. So that is one of my all-time favorite songs.
Wow, that's cool.
And it's, you know, you say things, you know, the universe at work. And just prior to this, there was a lot of listeners dealing with loss and requesting songs. And I have a family member going through that right now. So again, sort of Damocles you play. Magic and Loss. How much do you know about that record?
You know, it's interesting because that was the record that we talked most about at that dinner with Dolly Parton.
Really?
Yeah, which is, because, I mean, it was 96 or 95 when that happened. So that record I think that was his most recent record at the time.
Yeah, I think so.
And that was a big favorite of mine right away.
Yeah.
And so I brought it up to him, and he was like, yeah, the critics said it was this really negative record, but I think of it as really light. And I remember him saying that. And the funny thing is out of all this whole, doing Lou's song, I mean, I put two songs from Magic and Loss because it seemed appropriate, because I felt like the record was me talking to him through his songs, or trying
right.
to.
Right.
So it felt like it worked for, like, you know, in terms of just the emotional feeling I was kind of aiming for or something. But of all of the songs, those two on the record are the ones people comment about the most.
Because
there's Magic and Loss and Sword of Damocles.
Yeah, those are my two favorites from the record, too. And it's a record I recommend for anyone to go to when you're dealing with loss. I mean, it was his account and what he had just two different people, I believe, that sort of inspired that record in his life, I think.
Yeah, or... Doc Pomus.
Yeah.
Doc Pomus, I think, was most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, was going through that.
And then to hear that, I know when he passed and we played Lou Reed.
Doc Pomus, who wrote Viva Las Vegas, and, you know, for the listeners that don't know that.
Well, and is not a pleasant death.
Right.
You know, it was... And well documented in that album. And when Lou died, of course you go to that record. And boy, did that sound totally different, though.
Right.
It was like a first-person account of his own death, in a way,
yeah.
Which just was eerie.
It seems like this is the time we live in where everybody's going through this stuff with
yeah.
The big C.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, everybody's got issues with it.
Yeah, or you know, I mean, yeah.
Or, yeah.
You know somebody at all times, it feels like sometimes.
Yeah.
When you go through his songs and you're going to, I'm sure you've been asked this, but do you go by a lot of memory? Do you go by when I'm making this song, I have to make it different, or is it just, I'm going to make it like I'm going
to
make it?
Well, I was asked to make this record. I mean, I thought it was kind of a weird idea, especially to then follow up and go promote it in a way.
That's
and just talk
odd.
About it
yeah.
and just without, you know, it's just bizarre. I mean, I'm more comfortable with it than I thought I would be, like, yeah. in thinking about how I would do this.
Yeah.
But Bill Bentley over at Vanguard asked me to make it, and I just wasn't sure I was going to do it. And one thing he said, but I kind of liked the idea enough, and then I went on tour, and then I got off tour, and I live in a recording studio, so I just started doing it really simply. First one I did was Coney Island Baby, and with those sparse arrangements, it just seemed automatically to be different and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept going. I mean, I really didn't have anything else to do during that time. And it was, I was mourning Lou anyway. I mean, so it just seemed, and it really was a way for me to be in company with him again, mm-hmm. in a way. I was friends with him, but also it was an unresolved, you know, friendship for
right.
me, you know? So it's hard to deal with that when somebody leaves and you're not necessarily, you know, great with, you know, or, you know, it's been a while since we connected.
Right.
You know, so.
And a lot of people may not know that. You guys were friends and you hung out, and I read something about you guys. I think my favorite was how you talked about riding bikes with him through New York.
Yeah.
Because at least, I'm glad you recognized that's
how funny that was.
Kind of how funny it is that you're riding a bike yeah. through New York with Lou Reed.
No, it's yeah, it is. It's been a wild life. I mean, I feel like I definitely need to write a book or something. Not just about Lou, but just about
yeah.
all kinds of the experiences I've been lucky enough to have through this weird topsy-turvy
right.
ride through the music world.
Well, and getting back to just your relationship when Lou passed too. I mean, is that personally, you don't mind me asking, is that personally, did you learn a lesson from that? Did you say to yourself, like,
yeah,
I've got to leave things on good terms with people?
I do that way more
yeah.
now. Yeah. And I'm just, I'm aware of the fact that life is really short, and mm-hmm. that, you know, if you have some weirdness with somebody, just get rid of it. Not that there was even weirdness between us. There really wasn't. Our last exchange was nice and friendly,
yeah.
you know, so I don't mean to, like, dramatize that. It wasn't. It just, you know. But, yeah, it did teach me a lesson.
Good. What do you think he'd think of these songs?
I have no idea.
Do you have any idea?
I mean, I have to think he would like it, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, he was an interesting, enigmatic, you know, he's one of the most intelligent songwriters ever, you know. So, you know, he might hate it, but I hope he wouldn't. It brings something different out in the songs.
Yeah.
I mean, just by virtue of the fact that it's somebody else doing them. So I think, you know, I mean, I know I can only judge it from myself if somebody else, you know, when, I mean, I've heard Leonard Cohen talk about his critical facilities go into paralysis whenever anybody's covering one of his songs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I feel when anybody covers one of my songs. I'm just happy and grateful about it, whatever, you know. So.
You had a song way covered for the Hurricane, really.
Yeah.
Wasn't it like Chris Martin and...
Yeah, Chris Martin and
sure.
And Michael Stipe, man, Peter Gabriel has done that one too.
So that's weird, right?
Like yeah,
your song covered.
A few talented geniuses, you know.
Well, you got back at them with your covers record, so that's good. It's a
yeah.
it's a great record. And I want to mention everybody.
Thank you.
Joseph's playing Lou songs tonight. We wish Lou was playing, but we're happy Joseph can at Columbia City Theater tonight. And you have another one from the record?
Sure, this one's called Dirty Boulevard. Pedro lives out of the Wilshire Hotel. He looks out a window without glass. The walls are made of cardboard, newspapers on his feet. His father beats him because he's too tired to beg. He's got 9 brothers and sisters. They're brought up on their knees. It's hard to run when a coat hanger beats you on the thighs. Pedro dreams of being older and killing the old man, but that's a slim chance. He's going to the boulevard. He's gonna end up on the dirty boulevard. Going out to the dirty boulevard. He's going down to the dirty boulevard. This room costs $2,000 a month. You could believe it, man, it's true. Somewhere landlords laugh until he wets his pants. No one here dreams of being a doctor, a lawyer, or anything. They dream of dealing on the dirty boulevard. Give me, you're hungry, you're tired, you're poor, I'll piss on them. That's what the statue of bigotry says. You poor huddled masses, let's club them to death and get it over with and just dump them on the boulevard. They're gonna end up on the dirty boulevard. Going out dirty boulevard, going down the dirty boulevard. Outside, it's a bright night. There's an opera at Lincoln Center. Movie stars arrive by limousines. Klieg lights shoot up over the skyline of Manhattan, but the lights are out on the mean streets. A small kid stands by the Lincoln Tunnel. He's selling plastic roses for a buck. The traffic's backed up to 39th Street. The TV whores are calling the cops out for a suck. And back at the wheel shop, Pedro sits there dreaming. He's found a book on magic in the garbage can. He looks at the pictures and stares at the cracked ceiling. At the count of three, he says, I hope I can disappear. Fly, fly away. This dirty boulevard, I wanna fly. From the dirty boulevard, I wanna fly away. From the dirty boulevard, I wanna fly away.
It's KEXP, Joseph Arthur, Dirty Boulevard. When did that come out?
That's on the New York album.
Yeah, New York came out.
In the, like, 89, I think?
I remember that on MTV. I remember a video and seeing Lou Reed. I was very young, but I remember loving that song. And it seemed like I wasn't supposed to be watching it. Like, it was... It's like the
right.
It's kind of a dirty song.
Something dangerous.
I'm not supposed to be watching
on.
This. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Who is this? And then I realized who it was. I was rather young, but I.
Well,
love
it's
that
true.
Song.
It's true now as ever. I mean, more true now. That song. I mean, just with, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get all political, but just the economic situation in America. It's just such a great song. I mean, and very few songwriters really just write. You know. So many of us get stuck in love and stuff. I mean, in writing about love and all. You know, but. I just love the fact that Lou was always writing about topics that other people weren't approaching as much, you know, and that's kind of inspiring me, you know, to like reach deeper, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, did it have an impact on how you're writing songs now?
Yeah, I'm thinking I need to get better.
Well, good. It's about time. I've been meaning to talk to you.
Yeah.
God, Joseph, you'd be all right. You just got to get a little better.
A little better, you know.
And maybe you'll make it one day.
If I want to keep getting invited back to KEXP, if I want that record of most ever.
It's come up.
Appearances.
It came up when I saw that your first one
was. I'm going to need to dig a little deeper.
Yeah.
I'm feeling.
It's like 2002, I think.
You don't need to say it because I'm saying it.
Okay. I think it's a dozen. I am going to say it. And you don't. You do not have the title yet, though. We believe Robin Hitchcock may
Robin Hitchcock. Damn.
Have the title. Because he just won't leave, is the thing.
Right.
And kind of lives here. And we know John Doe has been up here a lot. And but you, Bobby Bear, you know, we're about the same age, I think.
Yeah, so Bobby Bear is my age, I think. Yeah. He came on my podcast, Nothing to Talk About.
Yeah?
I started a podcast, by the way.
Oh, please promote.
Shameless plug.
No.
It's called Nothing to Talk About. Bobby Bear Jr. was on it, and Greg Dooley was on it.
Wow.
Last guest was Danny Clinch.
Wow.
All the kids are talking about it.
I'm gonna have to
Word on the street is it's the greatest podcast ever.
That's
the word on the... I'm not saying that, but that's what I've been hearing.
I heard it, and I didn't even know it was yours.
Yeah.
that's why this is so shocking to me.
Yeah, Nothing to Talk About. Go to josepharthur.com. Follow me at Twitter at josepharthur. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, if you like it or not, your family here at KXP.
Okay, thank
you. So you're kind of required to come by here whenever you're in town. So
I appreciate it.
It'd be sad if you came by and we were like, Joseph didn't even call, he didn't write. Did we do something? That would be really awkward. Yeah.
No, how that would turn is, we're playing Seattle. Hey, what's up with, I got a new album out. This is me talking to my manager. Yeah, what's up with KXP? Ah, dude, they're booked. They don't really have, they said next time. They said they're trying to move things around. Yeah. Yeah. That's how that sounds.
You know that's code for.
Oh, I deal with that,
Do I even need to say what that's code for? Is that just so obvious? Yeah.
It's a bad feeling.
We really would love to have you.
That's when I go back to like screaming obscenities at night before I go to sleep and then weeping. So,
well,
if you feel like being responsible for that, then go ahead and don't book me next time I'm in Seattle.
I assume that
and
happens.
You'll know what that leads to.
Thank you for the insight, though. Now I know the impact we have when we don't have people on. I feel
it's
very
brutal.
Sad.
Yeah. Yes. You're breaking hearts.
I know.
KEXP. I hope you're satisfied.
Does it matter that we have over 500 sessions a year?
You're breaking hearts. Do you know how many bands?
5 million bands.
5 million. You're breaking 450 million hearts.
Every time you come up here means another band isn't. So your 12 appearances mean 12 bands were screwed.
I don't care about
Because that's
those
how it works. We just say...
I just care about this heart.
Who's here right today? Here. You just happen to be here. And then we bump the other band.
That's where you should have put big reverb. Ready?
We have
Broken hearts and shattered dreams. Live at KEXP.
Wow. Kevin Suggs with the assist there.
Nice.
It's amazing how quick you had that. Oh,
Let's start a morning radio talk.
I'm crying. That was so good. We'll get Cheryl in here.
Yeah.
She'll be our
Who looks fantastic, by the way.
She does. She does.
Better than ever.
Yes. And I have nothing left. Are you ready for another song? That might be a good
one. Yeah, let's close it out, right?
Yeah, I want to remind everybody, tonight, Columbia City Theater, you head down to Portland for Friday night. You're heading down to San Francisco, L.A., and after that?
After that?
You know?
Mars. I'm in LA for a little while and then I'm back in New York and then I have like a month off.
It's
a glorious thing.
You can work on your podcast.
I'll be working on nothingtotalkabout.com. Okay, this one is, here's Cheryl. Hello.
What's going on?
Hi,
What's
Cheryl.
Up?
You guys sound great.
Thank Cheryl.
You.
Appreciate it.
Awesome session.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for checking in.
This one's for Cheryl. It's called Heroin. I don't know if that... Here we go. I don't know just where I'm going, but I try for the kingdom if I can, 'cause it makes me feel like I'm a man. When I put a spike into my vein and I tell you things aren't quite the same, when I'm rushing on my run and I feel just like Jesus' son, and I guess that I just don't know. Guess that I just don't know. I have made
big decision. I'm gonna try to nullify my life. 'Cause when the blood begins to flow, when it shoots up the dropper's neck, when I'm closing in on death, you can't help me now, not you guys and all you sweet girls with all your sweet talk. You can all go take a walk. Oh, and I guess that I just don't know. Oh, and I guess that I just don't know. Born a thousand years ago, and I wish that I'd sail the darkened seas on a great big clipper ship, going from this land here to that in a sailor suit and cap, away from the big city where man can't be free and all these of this town and of himself and all those around. Oh, and I guess that I just don't know. Oh, and I guess that I just don't know.
Joseph Arthur here on Listener Powered KEXP. Heroin, beautifully done.
Thank you.
That can't be an easy one to cover.
Yeah, it's all about speeding up and slowing down, I find.
Yeah, I picked up on that.
I mean, it's just D and G, you know,
yeah?
So, yeah.
Well, it's a great version.
Thank you so much. It's a lot of fun to play. I mean, even though it's a dark subject.
When you dig into the lyrics,
yeah.
As someone who is covering it too, you really have to, you know, literally dig into the lyrics and sing them. Does it just change the song for you, or do you get more insight into it? I don't even know.
Yeah, more insight.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's what I found by covering these songs. It was like, you know, it was like paying tribute to my friend and mourning and trying to commune with him, but it was also like taking a master class in songwriting,
right?
You know? it was like it sort of redeemed all those colleges that I got kicked out of all those years. I was in a cosmic college. If you will.
You've grown up. At least that. And I'm sure he'd be proud.
I hope so.
Yeah, the new album, Lou, is just great. And tonight at Columbia City Theater, tomorrow in Portland, and some smaller clubs, too. Some more intimate kind of locations, too, which I'm sure is on purpose. And just, like, I mean, I've just noticed some of the places you have. City Winery is really a great place to play. And
yeah, it works for the, you know, because we're doing acoustic, you know, piano and guitar, and it's, like, pared down. But there might be a special guest coming tonight.
Really?
Jeff Ament. I can't say who it is. Jeff Ament
might come. Not in Pearl
Jeff
Jam.
Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam.
Not in here last time with you.
Definitely coming. But whatever. I'm not really going to say who it is. Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam coming tonight. So come.
Now, if you had asked him and he said, you know, I really can't, you know, I got this thing and I'm not able, that would be the same thing.
He did that to me last night.
Did he?
You
were Sonic Boom.
He invited me for dinner.
Yeah.
Then he said, oh, man, he's going to kill me for saying this. Well, I got to tell the story. Then he said he had a massage. Awesome. You know, that's not
nice.
Bad.
That's good.
That's the thing I think he'll kill me for announcing.
Sure. Yeah. Well.
But then he said the massage got canceled and we had dinner anyway. And it was a lovely dinner at Revel.
I'm not sure.
Anyway.
It was delicious.
It was delicious.
Yeah. Well, good.
Anyway, Jeff's the greatest guy.
We
going.
Like Jeff.
He's for real amazing.
He and his wife, supporters of KXP.
Pandora,
she's great.
She's amazing too.
So thank you again for coming up.
Yes,
that's
much.
I think number 12. So you're
okay.
Good.
Dirty Dozen.
Your punch card. The next one you get free.
All right, next one is 14 because we just skipped 13, right?
Yeah,
like
you
hotel floors.
Bad luck.
Let's skip it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like it'll be spot number 14, but we know what spot it really is. That's the Mitch Hedberg joke. You know that one about the hotel rooms, like. Who are the hotel floors? He's like, come on, people on floor 14. You know what floor you're really on. Anyway,
I'm signing up for your podcast after my show today.
You better.
Okay, so that's one more.
All right.
Thank you so much, Kevin, as well. As always, he's got a busy day ahead as well. Many sessions coming up today. And Hamilton Lighthouser tomorrow on the show as well. And I think I have some more show left. I don't even know what time it is. So I'm going to run down the booth. Oh, yeah, 9:46. I have 14 minutes left.
Of this show?
Yeah, I got to go. I got to play some songs. I think we're going to leave with a Velvet Underground song, though.
Oh, okay.
I think Sweet Jane is what we're going to play. I always like that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, we're going to
play. Why didn't I cover that one?
Yeah.
Missed opportunity.
It's sort of my message to you, like, maybe next time.
What's up, dude?
You'll cover the right song. This is 90.3 KEXP.